Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solek. That was the other voice that you heard there. Ben,
hello.
I've consciously thought that I have not introduced you soon enough in certain podcast episodes. So, friend, how are you doing this fine morning?
Is there a way to unconsciously think?
You know, now that I think about it, I guess there's not.
Trevor, every day is a good day to be alive. I do appreciate you asking. Obviously,
for the emo kids out there, that's not true. But those are my people, and I still resonate with them. So that's
now,
okay.
It's listen, today's Thursday. We have a full slate, of college football games, and yes, it is Morgan State versus whatever it's called, Bowling Green. It is Albany versus Central Michigan. It's fucking Robert Morris versus Buffalo, and UCA, whatever the heck UCA is, against Western Kentucky, and Florida A&M versus UCF. Charlotte versus GWB. Who do you think GWB? The Running Bulldogs.
God bless it. It's back.
Alabama State and Alabama Birmingham. Florida Atlantic and Tulane. We have so many games between so many bad teams. But Trevor,
yes,
there are a few games between a few good teams. And that's what matters.
Listen, man, I am going to wake up. If you don't think on Saturday, for all these trash-ass games, that I'm not going to wake up at the crack of dawn, ready for college game day, ready to watch the most boring nooner I've ever watched in my life. Buddy, it is week one, all right?
Right.
We're out here.
It was funny because I was talking to my fiance, who does not watch football at all.
Oh, humble brag, having a fiance. It's cool.
Yeah, every time. So I was talking to Mayor, and it was last week, and it was Saturday morning, and I was like, "Oh, like college game day. I want to like put college game day. I watch college game day." And she was like, "Usually you don't like. You usually don't try to make college game day. That's not super important to you." Like, she knew this, and I was like, "Yeah, but it's like week zero. It's like the first college game day." She was like, "I don't get why that's different." I was like, "Cause it's the first college game day, man." I was like shaking while I said it, like tweaking a little bit. I was like, "Because it's here." That's why.
That's what it's about, man. It's about getting pumped up for these pointless nooners. But actually, before we get to the nooners on Saturday, there's a game. Now, I guess, you know, both of us will probably be watching the Georgia Tech Clemson game on Thursday, right? I mean, this is a game where, one, we get to see Trevor Lawrence again for the first time here in, I guess it's technically not from 2019 because he won a national championship in 2019 in January, but the 2019 season, and he's going up against Georgia Tech, which Georgia Tech, Paul Johnson, traditionally a triple option offense, now going to
rip in peace, now going to
the spread.
Memory eternal.
What? What in the world?
When Georgia Tech takes a snap out of shotgun
on
Thursday night,
I'm going to puke. Part of me is going to die.
There's a good chance Mercury falls out of orbit, right? Like, Neptune and Uranus are going to crash into each other. Something's going to go down astronomically, right? Like, this is the balance of the universe. They're tipping the scales. Is this allowed?
I don't think, you know, on Thursday night, I'm looking at these games on Thursday night. And I don't really see any great matchups per se, but there's some guys to look forward to, right? I mean, Clemson, you have guys on the Tigers team that are worth noting: T. Higgins, Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence for future references, A.J. Terrell, Isaiah Simmons. Those are all guys that are, from a scouting perspective, that we're going to get a good look at on Thursday night. But there's also some other games, right? Texas A&M, you have Kendrick Rogers. You have Kellen Mond. Minnesota plays on Thursday night. Tyler Johnson, a top five receiver in this class, according to moi, going into the 2019 season. And then Utah plays in the nightcap game. They're playing against BYU, and you got a lot of talent from Utah. Utah's got a lot of fans. You know, before, I would say a month and a half ago, Ben, we could have said that Utah, low-key, a good Pac-12 team, like low-key, flying under the radar, could be a potential college football playoff team. it seems like people have really jumped on the bandwagon for Utah.
Utah has jumped the shark officially.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Because like, I know that you were a closet, like, Utah. Hey, guys, Utah could be good. I remember you talking about them in June, I think, really, when we started our summer scouting series. Do you think the hype has gotten too far for Utah at this point?
Yeah, I liked Utah last year for a lot of the reasons that people like Utah this year. Utah proceeded to deal with a Zach Moss injury, proceeded to deal with an unhealthy at times Tyler Huntley, and, you know, subsequently made it to the Pac-12 championship and you know, just had an absolutely god-awful, ugly slugfest with Washington, which they ended up losing. So Utah returns a lot of what made them what they were last year. People anticipate Washington taking a step back as they transition to Jacob Eason. They lose a lot of talent on the defensive side. Anticipate Oregon remaining to be an inconsistent firecracker of the team as they continue to try and
Jacob develop. Jacob Eason should have just always been at Washington, man. Like,
right, I agree.
Like, come on, dude. You should have just gone to Washington.
I agree. But this is a different thing for a different thing.
We all run different paths in our lives.
Wow, beautiful. So the Utah logic makes sense because the Pac-12 South is still an utter mess. And definitely, the Pac-12 North doesn't look as strong.
Yeah.
But being right now, they're -6.5 against a good BYU team. And I'm probably not going to touch this line, but if it gets to -7, so I'm buying the touchdown for BYU,
mm-hmm,
I could take it. Like, this is, like, BYU's going to play them tough. They're going to play them ugly. They always do. Last year, BYU, like, shut them out in the first half. Utah had, like, 24 fourth quarter points or something to win that game. Like, this is, you know, this is a significant rivalry game for these two teams. I cannot remember for the life of me what the nickname is for. I'm going to find it here in a second. But
I love the nickname. So, I love the nicknames for a lot of these rivalry games. Like, they're hilarious. Right.
Well,
you know,
the Utah one is like super. The Holy War, right? Exactly, that's what it is.
That's funny. That's good.
Right. So yeah, Utah BYU to me is the biggest ticket item on mm-hmm. Thursday. I'm mm-hmm. also really interested in UCLA Cincinnati. We can talk about that one maybe in a little bit, but for Utah and BYU, the matchup that interests me the most is Utah now lost multiple safeties in the 2019 NFL draft and to graduation. Accordingly, they're taking who was a decent corner prospect in Julian Blackman and transitioning him to safety coming up in this year.
It's just funny how you said that. They lost them to graduation as if, like, advancing higher education was a negative. Like,
this is the worst.
It was just really funny how you said that. Go on.
Right. Either way, so now Julian Blackman, a senior, steps in to be the free safety for the Utes. He's going to play a lot of the role that second-round pick Marquise Blair for the Seahawks played last year. Interested to see what he transitions to. He's got great ball skills. I think he's really, really good attacking the football, playing physically through the catch point. He may have coverage reps against Matt Bushman. This is the junior tight end for BYU that mm-hmm. a lot of people are pretty high on. I have not seen much Matt Bushman film. As a matter of fact, we have some. I might have some time tonight to watch some Bushman film. This is a player who has a run coming in, is now finally eligible. He's going to be the primary target for the BYU offense. Excited to see that potential matchup there. Georgia Tech and Clemson, I probably won't watch, to be honest, because I do not like watching.
Come on.
Listen, next week we get Clemson and Texas A&M. I want my first exposure to Clemson.
Whatever.
Because I don't want to watch them absolutely.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, brother. If you got multiple TVs in your living room, like your boy, you don't got to choose. All right? I'm going to have Clemson on one TV. I'm going to have Texas A&M on the other. And I'm going to probably have, like, the Minnesota game. Or actually, I'm in Florida, so they're probably going to make me watch the UCF game. God help me. But I'm going to have all three of those bad boys going on at the same time. Step your game up, Benjamin.
UCF is favored. Do you want to know how much they're favored over Florida A&M by? Just guess.
It's in Orlando, so. Wait, who's their quarterback at this point? Who's UCF's quarterback at this point? It's not Milton, and didn't Mack get hurt?
Yeah, I thought it was Wimbush, right? Brandon Wimbush.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
The Notre Dame transfer, yeah.
I'm still going to guess, like, 25.
Oh, sweetie, it's 48.
Yeah!
I'm favored by 48 points.
Oh, Lord.
And I can't here's the thing. I cannot in good conscience fade a 48-point line because I literally don't know a single thing about Florida A&M Rattlers. I couldn't name a single player that they have. They may not be real.
Not one.
I can't bet the line.
Not one. Hey, give me your favorite prospect that you're looking for on these Thursday night games. For me, it's Kendrick Rogers, the wide receiver for Texas A&M. And the reason why it's Kendrick Rogers, they're playing against Texas State. It should be an easy win. That game's on SEC Network. They're playing at Kyle Field. And it should be an easy one, but I want to see how the offense uses Kendrick Rogers. Because over the last year, when I watched A&M, I wondered, like, I get that this is a running offense, an option offense with Kellen Mond at quarterback, with strong running backs behind him. But, man, I think they've got something special in Kendrick Rogers. And when the rubber hit the road, if you will, when their backs were against the wall, guess who they went to every time? Kendrick Rogers. And I felt like he delivered for them consistently in some of the biggest moments of 2018. And all I was asking for was that you give this guy the ball more. Give him a little bit more emphasis in the offense. I think he's a great wide receiver for them. I know Kellen Mond's not the best passer, but I would really hope that going into 2019, I know. I would hope that going into 2019...
Not the best passer. I was in the middle of a swallow right there. You almost got me out the nose.
I would hope that in 2019, they're still going to get Kendrick Rogers the ball, at least much more than they have in the past, because I think that he could be a real NFL talent. So that's the guy that I'm looking forward to the most, because I think that carries the most weight and intrigue to me. Is there a guy that you find on Thursday through any of these games that you could really be looking forward to?
Yeah, so a big player that I want to litmus test on is in the Cincinnati Bearcats defense. They got a safety by the name of James Wiggins, and Wiggins played corner in high school. I believe he was initially a corner coming in to Cincinnati, has since transitioned to be a safety, but he's this Avante Maddox type, you know, for what Maddox has been for the Eagles. You know, corner safety somewhere in the middle, hybrid sort of a dude who's just over the slot, over here, out there. Impossible to miss when you watch Bearcat defensive film. Watching Cortez Broughton last year, the defensive tackle, who's 32, what's 32 doing, where's 32 coming from, game against Ohio, excellent ball. UCLA is going to spread you out. They're going to make you go fast. They're going to test you for 60 minutes. Obviously, the Chip Kelly offense got a ton of speed on the field. I'm really excited to see what Wiggins is doing in that overhang position. He was very productive as a redshirt sophomore. And to me right now, in terms of group of five guys that I like, Wiggins and honestly his counterpart on the offensive side, Michael Warren, the junior running back, these two Bears.
Yeah, Michael Warren. We were told to really watch him when we were going through the running back scouting series. So he's got some fans.
He's a bowling ball.
He is, yes, totally.
That dude is not fun to bring down. And he, I do not believe, had a – no, 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 he was a big part of the game last year for UCLA. The opposite, Josh Kelly, who UCLA has seen really grow as their starting running back, was not a big part of the game plan against the Bearcats. UCLA right now, an underdog on the road to the Bearcats. I think they win this game by a score. So that's actually – you know, it's not going to make it onto my Would You Rather betting lines for week one, since it's a Thursday game, but my underdog pick of the week is really UCLA. If you can still find them +3, take it.
Hit them.
You read early birds last week. You would have taken them +3.5. You already be protected from the field goal. But taking them straight up is also not a bad bet at all if you want to go that way. And I love betting road dogs in a less than one possession. That's a fun bet for me.
Ben out here trying to help y'all. You gotta pay attention.
Listen, Friday, make sure you read Would You Rather, because that's where you're going to get all my lines for this upcoming week. But James Wiggins, the safety corner out of Cincinnati, he's the player that I'm excited to check in on coming into now this week one.
Friday night's games, you know, if you just look at them and the numbers next to every team, you'd say, okay, there aren't a lot of great matchups on Friday night. But there's some intriguing things, right? I mean, like Oklahoma State, Oregon State, you little state versus state action. Gotta love it. That's the late night tip on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
And say, if you read Early Birds,
I read this one.
Yep, and you read Week 0 College Football Lines, you would have known that I recommended Oregon State at +15.5. It is now +14, despite the fact that it's receiving less money than Oklahoma State is, according to Action Network, which means that insanely sharp bets have come in on Oregon State, which means that was a good prediction by Ben, and now it's at +14. It's not as valuable as a bet. You should have listened. Anyway, go ahead.
Ben Solak, never won to not toot the horn when he's right. Literally,
like, two of my three early birds panned out perfectly. And by early birds, I said, like, these were lines that I looked at early last week, and I said, you know, these are ones that I would get value on right now. And it's nice when that happens, anticipating line movement. It's a good sign.
You have the Battle of the State of Colorado, in which Colorado State takes on Colorado. Victor.
Does that one have a nickname? Colorado.
I don't really know, but all I know is that it's an unspoken rule that says that whoever loses this game is not allowed to accept a single recruit from the state of Colorado. That's rule. I don't make them.
That's rule.
I don't make them.
The Rocky Mountain Showdown.
Oh, nice. Not a bad name. I like that. Wisconsin also travels down here to where I'm at USF, to play the USF Bulls in Raymond James Stadium. I might actually go to that game. That might be an interesting thing to do on this Friday night. So I might actually make it to this game. The Buccaneers, I know, have a lot of Wisconsin players, so I know they're going to be at the game for sure. But, Ben, in terms of guys and prospects that I'm looking forward to here on these Friday night matchups, it's Michigan State versus Tulsa for nothing else but quarterback Brian Lewerke for the Spartans.
That'll work.
I was a big Brian Lewerke fan 2 years ago. And that was when he was in his sophomore year. He had some throws that really opened my eyes, that really made me think, wow, these are some intangible touch pass accuracy throws that are so much, that have so much instinct built into them that you cannot deny what this kid might be able to do with the football in his hand if he progresses as a quarterback. Last year, I was told that he was, though he looked terrible, and I think he even got benched at one point, I was told
multiple points
that he was beat to hell, man. Like, I was told that he should not have been even starting in some of these games, and he tried to tough it out, and he looked bad because of it. So, bad beat there for him. Not really drew the short end of the stick, trying to tough it out. Didn't look great for it. It didn't turn out to be one of those heroic moments for him, but we have kind of been told by reports, and I understand that summer reports are always positive. This guy looks great, blah, 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 whatever. I was told that Lewerke looks great. And not only does he look great, I was told he was healthy again. Let's see what Brian Lewerke looks like fully healthy, and we might have ourselves a guy who could be one of the top five quarterbacks in this class, and I will stand by that. So I'm very excited to watch that matchup on Friday night.
Utah State. Taking another quarterback, Jordan Love.
There it is. Yep.
Receiving.
Glad you brought this up.
Smoke as really you can get in terms of preseason hype right now. A guy who for a small school player, has really, really gotten some love. Now he comes in, some love. playing Wake Forest. In Wake Forest, on the road, we will, I believe, have representation at that game. 95% sure Joe Marino is going.
Listen, if you are in the Winston-Salem area right now, tickets to see a potential top 5 2020 NFL quarterback are $5. $5. You can get in this game for $5.
Go for
it. Do it. Do it. And take the family. Take the whole family for $25. Go see Jordan Love.
Yes. Now, what you'll see when you go watch Jordan Love is a player who is no longer in the Matt Wells offensive system. Matt Wells, his head coach there, has now moved on to Texas Tech, number one. And number two, you'll be watching a player throw to receivers who he did not target last year. That is to say, his leading target last year, Ronquavion Tarver, NFL draft.
Great name.
Jalen Green,
great
graduated.
Name.
Aaron Vaughn's gone.
Ronquavion Tarver, great name.
Ronquavion Tarver, I like this film. You know, I mean, he's a UDFA, but
he
has a fun
good.
Film.
He was.
Listen, so they add a Utah transfer and Siasui Mariner. They keep Jordan Nathan, Darwin Thompson, obviously gone as well. So they Jordan Love has lost nearly 250 targets.
Ooh, boy.
From last year's 417 attempts gone in terms of the top players that he tried to throw the ball to. So we got a new system and new targets. It's a completely different look now for Jordan Love in terms of how that offense is going to operate. And so critical Power 5 opponent on the road. Really, really interesting to see how quickly he's going to be able to return to what he was last year, if he's going to be able to elevate the players around him. That's truly, you know, that kind of the hallmark of a top quarterback talent. So Jordan Love. And then on the opposite side, the Aggie that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is Tebandaleai. Tebandaleai, edge, transfer out of TCU, a player who unbelievably bendy and really has no idea what else to do, which is fine. It's really okay.
I'd rather have that. Yeah.
Right. A great Texas athlete, four-star recruit, went to TCU, ends up transferring out. Utah State grabs him, throw him on the edge. He's really good in long and late situations where he can get fire off the ball, doesn't worry about run defense. The pass rush plan is not there. The hand usage is coming around. And once it comes around, we can start to develop a pass rush plan, develop an inside counter so the tackles can't overset on us. The layout has exactly what you want in terms of everything from the first step to the fifth step is great when we're on the outside edge track. It's just executing that plan. And so he's another guy like Wiggins I can't wait to check in on after a season, off season's worth of work, and see if he's really developed technique-wise. Nalea is going to fly up bullets. And so Tipa Nalea, number 10, edge for Utah State. That's the player I'm watching when Jordan Love is off the field.
We're going to talk – I'm going to run through these Saturday games because we actually have games on college football games on Sunday and Monday as well that we got to just at least touch on. Look, as excited as we are about college football on Saturday – there is some not great matchups. I mean, Ohio State's playing Florida Atlantic.
How dare you disparage Marshall against VMI Cadets?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Nebraska, which is ranked, I learned as of today. I was today years old when I learned that Nebraska was ranked. They're playing South Alabama. Washington, Jacob Eason, you touched on him a little bit earlier. They get their first crack at Eastern Washington. Alabama, number 2 in the nation. Oh, man. No more Dylan Moses on their team. We haven't even talked about that yet.
We should talk about that.
Heartbreaking, man. They're taking on Duke. That it sucks. And I wrote an article on the Draft Network talking about what it has to do with the linebacker class. And I think when you and I were going through the summer scouting series, we realized, man, this linebacker class ain't great at the top. But you know who was at the top? It was Dylan Moses. And, like, you could buy yourself into Dylan Moses being a pretty damn good NFL linebacker. I think... If I had to put money on it today, I would still say that Dylan Moses tore his ACL this week. Sorry if we forgot to mention that. If you didn't already know that, please continually read thedraftnetwork.com. You'll be a smarter football fan. If I had to put money on it right now, I would say that Dylan Moses is going to declare for the 2020 NFL Draft anyways, and I think there's a good chance that he is still LB1. Now, I don't know if he would go top 15, maybe like he would have before, after predicting what was going to be a great junior year for him if fully healthy. But I do still think that he ends up declaring for the draft and he ends up being a pretty decently high pick. But for Alabama this year, that ain't good, man. Because they were already, I mean, Moses was already coming in, I don't want to say thin with experience, but they've had guys ahead of Moses every single year, including Mack Wilson a lot last year. So this was really supposed to be Dylan Moses' first year running the show. Taking that crown, being the next in that lineage of royal linebackers that have come from Alabama over the last decade, okay? This was his year to step into that role. Now they've got to go to a really inexperienced guy. Not just Dylan Moses, who would have been doing it for the first time as a full-time dude, but a pretty inexperienced player as well in the center of that Alabama Crimson Tide defense. So tough blow for them, man. And it's a tough blow for the 2020 linebacker class, too.
It's huge. And for the 2020 linebacker class, even if Moses comes out, your stock will not be as high as it was.
Sure. I don't think there's any debate there. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Right. So there's that. And then behind him, it really wasn't a strong class to begin with. Isaiah Simmons, who a lot of people refer to when it comes to linebackers, Moses and Simmons, it's really not. Moses is much more of a polished product. Simmons is much more of an athlete, just kind of playing off his head out there. And there's certainly, you expect him to be better this year technique-wise. He could very, very easily play himself into a first-round grade via technique improvement. He's likely still going to be a first-round player because of athleticism. But Simmons is not on the plane that Moses is on. And then it's some guys who are known, have been around for a while, who entertain coming out now for multiple seasons. Talking about a Patty Fisher, talking about a Joe Bachi, or you've got some unknowns, some guys who are stepping into bigger roles, into a Jacob Phillips, into a Muhammad Barry, into a TJ Brunson. So there's really nothing concretely oh, this is a starter. This is a year sure, one starter. Right, that player doesn't exist right. after Moses. So Moses, like, probably still is the best chance to be the first guy off the board if he decides to come out into 2020. I will say that for the Crimson Tide, the player who I think this impacts the most in terms of their NFL draft stock is Xavier McKinney. McKinney was a dime linebacker for them last year. When they went six defensive really backs against spread sets, they brought McKinney up into a linebacker role next to Mack Wilson. He's going to need to do that again. Unquestionably, he and probably Shaheem Carter are going to spend a lot more time in true linebacker alignments. And McKinney, if he can continue to show proficient play there, which he had last year, is really going to start to garner himself a Derwin James-like appreciation, a Derwin James-like approach in terms of how he's deployed by scouts. He's not Derwin James, I'm not saying that, but that role that Derwin James is popularizing, if McKinney has to play it, he has a chance to play it well, he's a good player. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to start to hear some sort of rumblings and comparisons there. But yeah, Bama up against Duke, which should not be a big deal.
Yeah, that won't be a problem. Yeah. But, you know, it sucks to lose a guy like Moses. The headliner game on Saturday is Oregon
Indiana
versus Auburn.
State versus
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, I meant to say, yeah. SMU versus Arkansas State. Monmouth versus Western Michigan. Nicholls State versus Kansas, you know, so... It's Oregon versus Auburn. You're getting to see that Oregon offensive line and Justin Herbert go against Auburn's defensive line, and that defense really, you know, and Auburn starting a, what is it? Is it a true freshman quarterback or is it a redshirt freshman quarterback? I think it's redshirt freshman. I don't think he's a true freshman. I think he's a redshirt freshman. Redshirt freshman
Who's
quarterback.
Is that Bo Nix?
Yeah.
I think he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So okay. Oregon's offensive line. Going up against Auburn's defensive line. You know, Derek Brown, Nick Coe, Marlon Davis.
He's listed as a true freshman on our lads.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, now I'm not going to say anything else until we figure this out.
Auburn, if I could spell Auburn, it would help roster.
Yeah. A-U-B.
By the way, a scale of 0 to 10, how good of a quarterback name is Bo Nix?
Nah, it's so, like, if you're talking south of the Mason-Dixon, you know, which Ben references a lot, then...
I do.
Bo Nix is, you know, a 9 or a 10. No question about it. You know,
Bo Nix is a true freshman.
If you are, you know, north of the Mason-Dixon, then Bo Nix, you know, you're called with a little bit of hesitation, I think. But, you know, if you're at Auburn, if you're at Ole Miss, if you're at Mississippi State, if you're at Tennessee even, Bo Nix, man, sign me the hell up. So he's going to be starting quarterback for Auburn. They're 16th coming into this game. Oregon's 11th. They're playing at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium.
Jerry World.
Ben, how do you think that this game's going to turn out? Who do you think is going to win? I mean, the storyline for me is Oregon's offensive line versus Auburn's defensive line. But is there another area where we might be overlooking, or is that really the main focus here?
Right. So Oregon-Auburn is actually going to end up being my lock of the week in terms of the pick that I'm confident I'm going to put a fair bit of money down on. Now, that being said... A big reason for that is because it's a lot easier to understand teams like this right now versus, like, you know, I don't really know where Texas Tech, Western Michigan, and Boise,
right.
and, you know, a lot
right.
of these other, like, left-sided
right.
matchups. It's tough to figure out where you want to land on a multi-score spread. Oregon-Auburn. Oregon right now, so it opened up as 2.5 points favorite for Auburn. It's now 3.5 for Auburn. So I'm on Oregon there as the dog. Catching the field goal is a big deal for me in that regard. The thing about Oregon is that you know the quarterback is going to be better. You know the offense as a whole is very, very likely going to be better. It's highly unlikely that Bo Nix, as a freshman quarterback, comes out in AT&T Stadium with College Game Day at 8 p.m. with an offense that, as we know with the Malzahn offense, is not exactly a riddle, right? This is a very and sometimes painfully simple approach. It's very unlikely that they come out and they really pour the points on and they make this thing a crapshoot, right? Mm. They make this thing a dog race.
Sure.
So accordingly,
sure.
You know, you're asking yourself, do you think Oregon can reasonably, you know, pour 21 plus points onto the Auburn defense? And you have Justin Herbert behind the most successful, experienced offensive line in the country, returning a 1,000-yard rusher in C.J. Verdell, and throwing the ball to every single one of his targets from last year, except for Dylan Mitchell, who obviously was his biggest target, but adding Juwan Johnson, the transfer out of Penn State. So it's like you have 10 out of 11 returning starters for Oregon on offense.
Yeah.
Only Dylan Mitchell is not back, which is
right.
crazy.
Who gets replaced? Which gets replaced?
Yes, which I don't think Johnson's as good of a college wide receiver as Mitchell was, but in terms of a college offense that was as effective as Oregon was last year. Like, this is not like a bad offense. The Oregon offense had significant success last year. For them to be returning 10 of 11 starters is a huge deal. Big. And then you ask me kind of what's the what's maybe underappreciated, what's maybe not noticed. Okay, well, we know that last year Auburn lost multiple receivers to the NFL draft. Accordingly, we have all these freshman receivers, but a ton of great athletes. We have Seth Williams, we have Anthony Schwartz.
Ryan Davis and Darius Slayton were a big part of what they did.
Right, So we have the athletes to replace it. Like Anthony Schwartz, I believe, was the number one freak on Felvin's freak list for 2019. But the Oregon secondary returns a fair bit of talent and had
I thought Tristan Wirfs was number one.
Well, I mean, maybe not. I know Schwartz was like up there. Like he was one of the top guys. Okay. But the Oregon defense returns starting corners in Thomas Graham and Diamador Lenoir. What's that from?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the vine where it's pronounced Y.
It's from this podcast. It's what it's from.
Right. No, you remember the vine where that the little girl's trying to pronounce, I think, who? And she was like, Hua?
Hua? Yeah, I know. Now I do. I remember that. Hua?
Hua? Yeah. So the Oregon defense returned some playmakers in the secondary, so I think they'll be able to rally upcoming tackle. I don't think Auburn's going to be able to buy the explosive plays that they frequently do against non-SEC defenses. So I do like Oregon in this game. I do agree that offensive line versus defensive line is the big matchup. Jake Hansen and Shane Lemieux up against Derek Brown is the biggest one in terms of the individual matchup there.
Right, right.
But also, as I was saying, so the Malzahn defense, for what it is in terms of you know, the simplicity that I kind of criticize, this is a defense with a lot of backfield action, a lot of pullers, and a lot of sugar huddles as well. So they do a lot of stuff to fool your keys. Troy Dye, the senior linebacker for Oregon, who a lot of people like.
Who now has a real big chance to be known as potentially the best linebacker in the country with Dylan Moses no longer in the picture. You know, Jonah Tull's talked about it. Jonah Tull is a big fan of Troy Dye. You and I were not as big of fans of Troy Dye during our summer scouting series. But
Jonah and I literally started arguing about Troy Dye in 2017, and we're here in 2019, but neither of us have moved on
but
Troy Dye.
But here's the thing. Since 2017, Troy Dye's put up two back-to-back 100-plus tackle seasons, okay? So, like, the production is there for him. Listen, you don't have to convince me. I watched the tape. But that's all to say. With Dylan Moses out of the picture now, it's wide open. Troy Dye's the guy who could possibly be put into there. Who's the guy that you're most looking for? Is there a guy on the Saturday slate of games? And we'll go through this quick, but for me, it's Vanderbilt running back Keyshawn Vaughn. He's going up against the Georgia Bulldogs, who are ranked number 3 in the country. I'm just excited to see him in this Vanderbilt offense, really as a feature player, see how he comes out, because I love Vaughn, man. I think Vaughn is my top senior running back going into this class, going into this season. I think he's got great vision. He's got some juice to him. He's good in his own blocking scheme. He really knows how to find space, put his foot in the ground, get upfield. I think he's got good balance. I think he's got pretty decent getaway speed. He's a good wide receiver. I think he's got the size to be able to block. Some of the things need a little bit more technique and work. But, man, when I look at Vanderbilt and everything that could be with Keyshawn Vaughn, I'm really excited to see him go up against Georgia at Vandy to start the season. So he's the prospect I'm probably going to be monitoring the closest on Saturday.
Absolutely. I'll put it to you this way. I'm excited to watch on Saturday. If you had to tell me what's the weakness with Bryce Hall? If there is one, what is it? What's the concern?
If there is a weakness with Bryce Hall?
Yeah.
I would say going up against faster receivers.
Yeah, he's about to face a wide receiver, Maurice French. French with two Fs. Which I don't know why.
Wait, what? So how?
French,
how?
Maurice, his last name is spelled F-F-R-E-N-C.
Wow, can we get some nonstop double Fs in the chat?
Absolutely. But either way, Maurice French, wide receiver for the Pitt Panthers, UVA versus Pitt on Saturday evening. It is an evening game, excuse me. Bryce Hall is going to see French, and French can fly. And so this would be a good opportunity for Hall to prove that he can stick with the quicker, shiftier guys. They may just run French out of the slot exclusively to try to avoid Hall, but they did line up French at times outside last year. And so if you do get Hall versus French, it's a big deal for Hall. Those reps are important.
Sunday and Monday, we have two college football matchups. Remember, a lot of the NFL games, I think all of the NFL games in the preseason are actually happening this Thursday night, so tonight as this podcast is coming out. So your weekends are free, so you're going to be able to watch these two Sunday and Monday night games. The first one on Sunday, Houston at Oklahoma in Norman. De'Aaron King going up against Jalen Hurts. And then on Monday, it is Notre Dame at Louisville. You get to see that Louisville, or that Notre Dame defensive line with Khalid Kareem and Julian Okwara. Those are the big storylines for me there. I'm really excited to watch what Jalen Hurts could be for Oklahoma, because now we have had 2 years in a row in which Oklahoma quarterbacks have gone number one overall in the NFL draft. Not saying Jalen Hurts is going number one just because of that. But
that's what I heard.
But Jalen Hurts getting to work with Lincoln Riley, I'm very excited to see that. Excited to see how Derek King kind of keeps up with them at Houston. And then, of course, Julian Okwara is one of my top pass rushers going into the class, man. I want to see what he has learned. I want to see if he's put some more strength on, if he's a little bit more controlled, if he has a little bit more of a plan, because I think, man, ability-wise, baseline of potential and talent, and what this kid could be with his length, I think Julian Okwara has a really high ceiling. Excited to watch those two games and see mainly those prospects there as we kick things off, or end the weekend, really, on Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, listen, and Okwara's not going up against a slouch. Left tackle Mackie Becton for Louisville. I think Joe is a fan on staff. Joe's the ACC guy, but I know.
Resident ACC guy. Big fan of a left tackle guy in the ACC. We're shocked.
Wow. So, yeah, Becton steps up now. He's a junior, so he's draft eligible, and he has a guy that Louisville's liked for a while. He's a toolsy dude, and so it's not like, you know, Okwara's going to be beaten up on a punching bag. Houston, Oklahoma is a weird one. It's because I wanted to handicap this game. Houston started out – the line has moved 3 points in Houston's favor, and I think it's pretty much exclusively there's two things, not exclusively, but it's Jalen Hurts' fear in terms of we don't know exactly what he is. Plus, easy to forget, Dana Holgorsen is the head coach of Houston. Yeah, he knows this Oklahoma team kind of well.
That he does. He may have
coached against him a couple times in the past 2 years and, you know, taking him deep, taking him long. Now, obviously, the talent at Houston isn't really the same as what he had at West Virginia, but there's a reason that Holgo made this move from West Virginia, a Power Five school, to Houston, a Group of Five school, and it's because that Texas recruiting base does turn out some athletes. And so you have a receiver like Marquez Stevenson, who's a sublime athlete, who's going to be a huge part of that attack. Obviously, Derek King, one of the best athletes that you'll be able to find at the quarterback position. So Houston, Oklahoma is going to be fireworks.
It is going to be absolutely fun to watch, man.
I don't think Houston's going to push it in a quarter four. I don't want to bet the spread or anything like that, but I just do think it's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be a blast. Ben, there is one game in which you could get into for $2 this weekend.
This weekend?
Howard at Maryland. $2.
Listen, how could you not want to watch our Maryland Terrapins, Anthony McFarland Jr.,
brother,
Deshaun Jones, a sophomore but doesn't care, Antoine Brooks?
God, $2? To steal, folks, if you are in the Maryland area, you better get your behind to that stadium, because you're watching some future NFL guys for $2. You won't find a deal better anywhere else, unless it's maybe in Benjamin Solak's Would You Rather or any other article in which he tells you how to bet, because he's a smart guy and he'll make you money.
Read the Draft Network.
You realize you're like a financial advisor, but just like through football.
Okay, so there was a paper that claimed that betting the favorite on 20 plus point spreads in college football was a more consistent and predictable investment than the average 401k.
Boy, yeah, brother, you don't got to convince me anymore. I'll throw every dime in my Roth IRA account on Ohio State this weekend. Very excited to watch. Very excited to watch all the college football games that are coming up this weekend, as well as some of the NFL games that are coming up tonight. Ben and I will be back tomorrow with your absolutely out of pocket Fan Friday questions. And then, of course, we will be talking about all of the college football games come Monday. So until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.